MCGINNIS, right? Your Twitter handle?
Yeah, with a digit 7 after that.
Oh, just like James Bond. Okay, right. Well, sorry to cut fast, but we're right out of time. Thanks a lot for coming on again and for staying on this case. If more Canadians only knew the peril that our Charter of Rights and Freedoms is in, and not just here. We're seeing similar threats to public freedom in all the Five Eyes countries, at least. But thanks a lot for coming on, eh, Ray?
Thanks so much, Chris. Take care.
Everybody else, stay tuned, because I'm going to be back after the break with Steve Poikonen of AM Wake Up. And we're going to talk about another political prisoner, maybe the foremost political prisoner of this century, Julian Assange. Thanks again, Ray. Well, I gotta think that we're not alone.
I'm sitting in my house watching all this happen, and I've arrived to a point where I just can't keep my mouth shut anymore.
Guerrilla Radio. You're not alone. Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, Tuesday, February 20th, Julian Assange is scheduled to be in court, approaching the fifth anniversary of Assange's detention in London's maximum security Belmarsh prison. Lawyers for the world's most famous political prisoner are preparing for the journalist and publisher's final appeal of the High Court's favorable ruling on the U.S. extradition petition. Steve Poikonen is co-host of Slow Newsday on Rockfin and the best damn morning show on the interwebs, AM Wake Up on Rumble. He's been in the trenches and gone to the streets for Assange's release in the USA, trying to spark his fellow Americans to action in defense of justice. Welcome back to the program, Steve.
Thank you, Chris. Great to be back.
Well, it's great to speak with you. It's been a while, quite a while, actually. Earlier this month, Steve, former CIA contractor Joshua Schulte got 40 years for what Reuters calls the, quote, largest theft of classified information in the agency's history, sending WikiLeaks the files that later became known as the Vault 7 leak. Schulte was convicted of this, Steve, and possessing child porn on his computer back in July of 2022. Is there any indication, Steve, the timing of his sentencing has anything to do with Assange's upcoming final appeal?
Well, it definitely sends a signal that the intelligence community is still very, very displeased with WikiLeaks as an organization and Julian Assange as a person. It is a nice, stark reminder that, at least in the United States court, they're willing to levy insane sentences at people based on, I'm not kidding, no evidence. The U.S. argued in court that the lack of evidence in this case was evidence that Joshua Schulte was in fact guilty, because he was such a genius criminal computer mastermind that he fooled absolutely everyone else at CIA, NSA, all of the other computer forensic people that they could have look at this. And Joshua Schulte, he and he alone, Chris, is, you know, so dangerous that they had to reduce the amount of years that they were trying to get him to go to jail for by half, even though 40 is still egregious.
Well, and the child porn thing, is that something legit, or do you think just thrown on top to make people like you and me and others just say, oh, fuck, I don't want to pick up this guy's story?
Here's the thing. We're never going to know. We're never going to know. And also, that is completely separate and removed from what the entire reason that he was arrested and tortured, put in communications management situations, which is a little bit more egregious than solitary confinement. Special administrative measures is the industry speak for beyond torture that he was subjected to. So at the end of it, who knows? But we never will. And it is not atypical of, you know, the intelligence community or the FBI or the police to add these charges on after the fact and see if anything sticks or see if anyone wants to try and challenge it. And even if they do get challenged and that person is cleared of that charge, it's the charge that matters.
Well, and this is, these conditions apply to Assange too. We haven't heard much from him. I you know, honestly, I'm ashamed to say I can't even remember the last time we heard. He had the marriage ceremony with Stella. God, when was that? Like a year ago, a year and a half.
He wasn't even allowed to attend that, if you recall.
No, I don't recall. So this is my problem. There was a statement
on behalf of Julian Assange from his own wedding because he couldn't go.
I'm sorry to laugh. I totally blanked on that. I thought that she went to the prison and there was a.
She did. She did. His father.
Didn't they have a ceremony?
There was a ceremony where they were wed, where he was, you know, he had written. Yeah, and that's what they I wish I'm racking my brain here now. I wish I could remember who read his vows, but that was the exchange of vows.
Was it?
But
Craig
he wasn't allowed out to go participate in it, and they weren't allowed in to go to the Belmarsh Chapel. Christ. Whatever, they weren't allowed in to do it. And I'm laughing too. And I'm not trying to make light of the situation at all. That's no. Just how exceedingly cruel this is, that if you don't find a way to chuckle through a little bit of it, it'll just be a stream of obscenities at my, like, I hung out in the hood as a kid way too much volume.
It is. It's fucking crazy. And that, well, you said that they hate him, and they hate him still. Well, that's obvious. I still remember. It's coming up on 5 years in April. It'll be 5 years since Assange was dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy. How much the world has changed, and how much of what he was doing and what he said, how important that would be now. And you know, yeah, they hate him. Well, when Vault 7 was released now, and this back with Schulte. What's Vault 7, Steve? You know, they Reuters, and this is where I got that. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but I took my information from Reuters News, for people who know how crappy that outlet is. They say this was the biggest thing ever. What exactly was Vault 7?
Well, it was, to date, I believe, the largest release of the tools the intelligence community, in this case the CIA, use to spy on not just people abroad, as is their legal mandate, but absolutely every single citizen in the United States. And there were a number of different specific programs that are detailed in this release that show Marvel Framework being one of them, but to show the how the CIA can leave behind a fake breadcrumb trail that will point to a different country of origin, how they can mimic and mirror the same protocols as other countries use when they hack. It was talking about how your smart devices are spying on you at all times, how there's no such thing as being able to turn off the microphone on your Samsung smart TV. That's what it was, the example that was given at the time. And again, this is all of these tools that were disclosed in Vault 7 that happened in 2017 were being implemented from 2011 to 2013. They had shown that they were able to go in and leave a false bread trail successfully, according to Vault 7, successfully in 2015, which ironically coincides with the entire Russiagate narrative and was one of the bases for it. And so, I mean, it really was. It was a massive disclosure of a snapshot of what the CIA had access to and was in use of from, about 2011 to at least 2016, 2017 with the release of Vault 7, at which point they probably had to stop using a number of those things as, you know, different procedural elements about it were revealed in the leak.
Well, and if Ed Snowden sitting there in Russia had any doubts about, and I'm sure he didn't, about what his fate would be, I guess then that Joshua Schulte is the CIA and the state's chance to get back for missing Snowden.
I mean, that's there is that component to it, which baffles me that Snowden still frequently talks about wanting to repatriate under the right circumstances. Really? Yeah.
Look, but
he's got conditions, but it's a bit of a head scratcher. I don't know.
Doesn't like the cold weather, maybe.
I mean, hey, and let's be honest, there are a number of elements about the Russian security state that I'm sure he finds to be quite invasive and uncomfortable. So there's that, but it's his home now for the time.
Yeah, well, let's not be let's not be under any illusions about Russia and what it is behind the scenes. Well, Steve, I was watching your show AM Wake Up now, and I've got on my phone too. You're such a busy guy. I really appreciate you coming on. You got the AM Wake Up Blunt Force Wisdom. I didn't even know what that one is. Phillips Show.
Yes, sir.
Practitioner. You're way ahead of me, Steve. I don't even know what all this stuff is. But I was watching today, and you had Grimerica outlawed Graham Dunlop on your show this morning. Sir. You do a few hours in the morning, and that's why I really appreciate you. You must be mediated out of your fucking mind coming on here. But did I get it that he's a Canadian?
Yeah, he is. He's in BC.
Oh, really?
I think he is, and if not Alberta, and
yeah, well, that
really
cowboy hat would have made me thought of Alberta for sure off the top. But you said to him, "Oh, it looks like you got a win up in Canada." But I had to do this show before finding out what that was, or if you even said it. What were you talking about?
Well, there was the determination that all of the measures the Trudeau government was taking against the truckers were illegal, and that kind of, at least in terms of a disclosure of state overreach that has the potential to settle into, you know, some of the minds of the people there in our fair neighbors to the north.
Yeah, I was talking about that in the first segment of this show, actually, with Ray McGinnis, and he's talking about the Justice Mosley and his reasons for judgment, a damning indictment of the government's case, which even at the time was thinner than water. But up here in Canada, yeah, the Emergency Act got shoved down our throats in reaction to the vaccine. The truckers, it became a national emergency. Some guys in Ottawa with bouncy castles and the Coots four from Alberta, that two of them are still in the can, but four of them have been sitting on remand for without bail provisions for more than 700 days now, and two of them finally cracked and copped a plea, and that's what we were talking about this morning. Two remain, and I guess they'll do the same soon. I would hope they get out. They're just regular, for the American listeners, they're just regular family guys that were a part of this and were totally set up. But, I mean, this is the pattern that we see, not only in Canada. David McBride is a guy down in Australia. He's another leaker. Have you been following? He leaks stuff about Afghanistan. Have you been following David McBride? I'm trying to draw parallels here to a situation.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Everywhere.
And you're correct in doing so. David's a friend. He was on Slow Newsday a couple of weeks back ahead of his actual his sentencing, which did just come down, and it looks like he's probably going to have to do a little bit of jail time, which is preposterous. But this is, if you want to talk about some overlap and some examples, let's talk about the complete and total failure of the Australian government to be anything other than a puppet client state of the U.S. intelligence community.
Well, to be fair to them, they're the same as Canada and the rest of the Five Eyes, really, aren't they?
I mean, well, okay, you know, it is absolutely unconscionable that here's a guy who did absolutely everything by their book, the right way by their book, by their rules. He did, you know, he was a soldier in the British Army. He went to law school through, I think Oxford, or it was either Oxford or Cambridge. I can't remember which he said, but it was one of those two, the right schools, when he was, you know, time for him to do his, because he wanted to be a lawyer in the Australian army. So that's what he did. that's what he was. And he was trying to go through begging the proper channels to do their job because he was trying to do his job. And now he's going to jail for it.
Yeah, we had a guy up here in Canada, and this is all about the war crimes committed in Afghanistan. We had a guy, Richard Colvin, in Canada way back in 2009, who it created a big scandal here where he revealed he was a Foreign Service guy, and they stuck, you know, like a suit, and they stuck him in there to do a little investigation and come home and say all the right things. He went off script and revealed that the Canadian soldiery was routinely torturing Afghan civilians, and it he went through the ringer here. He didn't, this was before Assange and all that, and he didn't, you know, get the kind of treatment that David McBride is getting, but he was called a traitor. And I don't know what he does these days. I think his career in government was ended abruptly, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a shame what's happening to David McBride, though. And there's hardly anybody in the U.S. media that will talk about it. I don't know if there's a thank you for talking about it. Canadian media, it's an unfortunate situation all around.
Well, again, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today to media maven Steve Poikkanen. He is the master at Slow News Day on Rockfin and the best damn morning show on the interwebs AM, Wake Up on Rumble. Do you want to talk about your collaborators on those two programs?
Certainly. My co-host on Slow News Day is the wonderful Glory Jones. She's currently down in Florida. She's way younger than me. She's in her mid-20s and has an amazing geopolitical grasp and understanding and a concentration.
Hey, they're standing on our shoulders, man.
She's just light years ahead of the curve for her peers and her generation, and has a couple of particular areas of focus on the Caribbean diaspora and like marine life in general that add a whole extra layer of depth to the show. Over on AM Wake Up, we get a number of people that are regulars on the program, so I apologize if this takes a moment, but Chris Yannick, who has a show called The Rained Out Rantcast that he's been doing for a number of years, has been co-hosting for coming up on about a year. Ryan Christian, The Last American Vagabond, is our third microphone every Tuesday.
That's an amazing show he does too.
Oh, it's incredible. And if your audience isn't familiar, go to thelastamericanvagabond.com and prepare. Just make a snack or two. But he's just an incredible wealth of information and has some wonderful people that are collaborators as part of that side as well. Derek Bros being one of them, who's covering a historic fluoride lawsuit currently in San Francisco that, again, hardly anyone has bothered to realize is going on. It could result in the defluoridation of the U.S. water supply, which is huge.
That's the original conspiracy theory.
One of them, yes, certainly.
Oh, what is there? Was there one older than that? I thought that was it,
buddy. JFK.
Didn't fluoride precede?
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. It does precede that. This is the 1940s. You're correct.
Yeah, it was the post-war thing, and everybody's a kook because they think that there's something wrong with putting fluoride. I watched Derek. He's been on this show years ago too, but I don't want to get too far off track with it. But amazing.
Reach out to him and have him on to talk about this, please.
The Fluoridation Action Group, if you want to do a search to find out what's going on. But there's this big case down there. And hey, what could go wrong with sticking industrial effluent into the water supply?
Right. But yeah.
Four out of five dentists.
Goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Prefer Charleston cigarettes. So, yes, Ryan's Tuesday. T. Snyder, the Canadian. As a matter of fact, it does every Wednesday with us. He has a wonderful set of like training wheels into No, the Government Isn't Your Friend videos at conspiracysynergy.com. We've also been collaborating quite a bit with a gentleman named Texas Slam, who runs a thing called the Beef Initiative, where he has a goal of reconnecting not just Americans, is all over the world, reconnecting people with the people who grow and produce the food that we put into our bodies. And he's trying to revitalize the American, you know, ranching industry at scale, small scale, that can be replicated, and doing the same at every country that'll let him talk about it.
Getting rid of the feedlots and the farming issues, massive. I don't know how much people are aware of it over here, but in Europe, it's just going huge. And in India, they're back in the streets again too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're trying to tell everybody that small scale farming and agriculture is bad, that dirty, filthy humans are driving, planetary climate change, that if we don't switch to massive, large-scale monocropping, if we don't eliminate real, organic, pure protein, if we don't eliminate the home garden. Just did a show with Allison Morrow about this, where they're telling you that your home garden has a larger carbon footprint than massive, you know, monocrop farms. It is. It's living in the upside down, Chris. It's silly.
Vandana Shiva is, for anybody looking to look her up, and she talks, you know, she'll give you a lot of information about that. Still on the security state and everything else and the parallels, Kit Clarenberg has got a new piece up at the Gray Zone. UK steps up war on whistleblower journalism with new National Security Act. You following Kit's work at all and what happened to him?
I am, yeah. He is excellent, and I keep up with him a little bit more through Off Guardian. We just had Taylor Hudak on couple of weeks ago on AM Wake Up to talk about the National Security Act. That was a very fascinating conversation. And it's ridiculous what they're trying to do under the guise of you don't need rights in order to be safe.
And you don't need to commit a crime in order to be a criminal.
No, certainly not. Well, we've had pre-crime here in the U.S. since 2019.
Explain that. I mean, I saw the movie, but yeah.
Well, it's not exactly on the Minority Report level, but there was a particular instance. I'm sorry, it went live the first of 2021. There was an instance over the summer in where then Attorney General Bill Barr was talking about the limits that law enforcement has and how they need to break free of some of these constraints. And God forbid something like multiple mass shootings would happen on the same day. That was the example he gave. And wouldn't it be nice if the law enforcement had the kind of tools to where they could predict these incidents before they occurred? About 3 months later, there were what was reported in the media as multiple mass shootings on the same day. There were two separate incidents. One was technically a mass shooting. The other was technically a relationship dispute.
Isn't that just another Tuesday in America, though?
Yeah, and you could have pointed it like any major city, but these were special because one was Beto O'Rourke was running for president at the time, and it was in like where he was having a campaign stop or where he was Congress critter of or something like that. So the very next day, Donald Trump comes out and he says, we have to give law enforcement the tools to be able to stop these kinds of crimes before they're committed. So as a part of the Department of Justice now, there is a pre-crime division. There are a number of people that have been locked up for posting about some hectic stuff. There's a guy named Daniel Baker who got arrested after January 6th, not because he was in D.C., but because he had talked about showing up to the Florida Capitol in Tallahassee armed as a member of Antifa or an Antifa-like resistance movement to keep the Proud Boys from storming the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And he's in jail for pre-crime. So this is a very real thing. And this is something that's been a part of the U.S. Department of Justice for slightly over 3 years now.
Yeah, well, and all overshadowed by January 6th. We're fast running out of time, Steve, but I'm reading something by a guy on Twitter, Alon Mizrahi. Sorry about the pronunciation, Alon. about management of consciousness. Have you read anything about this? He's writing specifically in the context of what's going on in Gaza right now, and how the IDF and the government spokespeople in Israel and in the United States and in Canada and throughout the Five Eyes are just lying straight in your face so obviously that it's making people crazy. And he goes, yeah, it's meant to make you crazy. You know anything about this management of concept or management of consciousness?
We were talking about it a little bit earlier on the show today, as a matter of fact. But I mean, this is something that we've discussed quite a bit in terms of placing society under a sort of slow drip, like MK Ultra-esque trauma-based mind control, where not only have you, after a period of years, decades, desensitized the population so much, you've paralyzed them by so much fear, so much confusion, so many pharmaceutical products, so much bad food, that they're at a point where they're incredibly malleable. Now, if you can turn that into what we're discussing, it becomes a management tool. It's not. You don't even have to have people believing the thing you want to you're advertising, as long as they're believing the inverse of that to be true.
Advertising, man.
Yeah. If you can pick a side, then, and you've got people fighting over it, then you can do what bankers and global oligarchs have done forever, which is arm both sides of that conflict by selling them effectively mirror images of the same product.
Bullets and bandages for everybody. Steve, before we go, can you, in previous times that we've talked about Assange, you've been involved on the streets in D.C. and mm-hmm. here and there. What's going on in the States now? Because the hearing is coming up Tuesday. It'll be Tuesday and Wednesday as scheduled in the U.K. to send Assange, to reiterate, to the United States on this extradition order. What's happening, if anything, there? You're in Vegas now, not California. I think you were still in California the last time we talked. Are you getting involved on that level? And before we go, how do people find you?
Oh, certainly. Well, thank you, Chris, for having me on. Just go to amwakeupshow.com, and that will get you absolutely everywhere else. There are a number of different events going on in the U.S., D.C. and New York, Denver. I'm not doing anything where I'm at, because I have like 18 other things going on. I will be doing check-ins live, if at all possible, with people on the ground in London. The time is a little bit stretched. Like, we'll probably get live recaps, just because it'll be, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that here when the courtroom opens. Mm-hmm. But we'll have, as much like from London reporting as we possibly can on the show. This is what determines the future of press freedom. There's a lot of people that think a lot of different ways about Julian Assange or WikiLeaks or whatever. That is ancillary to the point. The point is that there's a fundamental restructuring of the way that journalism is done. It has been happening since Julian Assange was trafficked out of the Ecuadorian embassy, thrown into Belmarsh prison, where he's been on remand. You're talking about the Canadians for 700 days. He's been on remand for over 3 years. Did the longest amount of time in jail for skipping a court date as anyone had done in 100 years. Mm-hmm. It is a massive violation of your rights as a human being to access information.
It's a travesty for sure. And all those years he spent in sanctuary at the embassy before that, he's been in prison of one sort or another for more than a decade. Well, okay, Steve. Again, I know you're super busy with your media stuff. I really appreciate you coming on and painting houses with me on this show. I want to thank Ray McGinnis as well for coming on and his work with the Coots 4, COUTTS 4, FOUR, Coots 4. Look it up. Thanks again, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
When nothing is as it's presented.
It's a bit like discovering that your favorite uncle that's taken you for walks in the park, ever that he's really a serial abuser.
You need a different source. Guerrilla Radio, a century of news every Thursday and Saturday.